First, there was Tuesday. Then, there was Taco Tuesday. Now at Wendy's, there's Takis Tuesday. Get a new Takis Fuego meal, a.k.a. Takis Fuego chicken sandwich, Fuego fries inspired by Takis, a bag of Takis Fuego chips, a small drink, and also a small Frosty classic. Yes, you can get that any day, but on Takis Tuesday, the Frosty is free. Make every Tuesday a Takis Tuesday. Gotta be Wendy's.
Limited time only. Participating U.S. Wendy's includes 1 ounce Takis Fuego chips while supplies last. Takis and Fuego trademarks are used under license.
Welcome to part two of our conversation about The Other Side with Timothy Shaw. I think this is said far too often on this show now, is demon is overused, and we all know that.
But I
address it so often because it is such a thing. And it's always interesting to hear opinions on that. When people jump to that conclusion and they jump to, oh, this is something dark, this is something demonic, because it's not exactly what they expect or have already assigned in their mind what it should be. I believe that that stuff is out there, but far more infrequent than what is made out to be. What is it? Is there ever a way to calm someone down who may immediately be jumping to that conclusion to say, wait a second, this is not something demonic. This is just something you don't recognize. But a way to make that identification.
That's hard. And I'll tell you why, because it takes education. It takes time. You have to sit down with that person almost on a one-on-one basis, listen to their concerns, and then come back and explain to them, this is the way it works. Mm-hmm. Our job, and my mentor always told me, Sharon Klingler, she's from Ohio, was my mentor. It's a wonderful medium. She always said that it's our job to empower the person in front of us. And that person who was in front of us has to be the most important person in our life at that time. You've got to be able to go and understand what may cause this negative stuff going to happen. Is it A, really negative, or are they jumping to conclusions? Or B, is it negative and it's scaring them? What are you going to do about it? I've found that if you go and you educate the person, you help them. Most times the houses are in chaos. That's a big identifier, man. You walk into a house and it's like, it looks like my house now, mm-hmm. since we're moving. But if it's in chaos, that's right there. There's your first red flag. You have to become organized. You have to think correctly, and you have to try to depower it. And by depowering it, I mean that you have to sit there and tell them, okay, guys, no, this is not gonna happen. You've got to take back your property. You've got to take back what you're doing. But this is important. Well, I hear bandied around constantly, battle the demon, battle the devil, battle this, battle that. Mm-hmm. And I've read a lot of books, and back when I had a radio show, I interviewed a lot of people that battled. Mm-hmm. And you know what happened? Right. A lot of them lost their houses, or they were, they had to move, or it got worse, or it got amped up, or, it before it ran its course, and it was terrible. In one of the books I wrote, the C2D1 haunting, was about a college kid at Geneseo State in 1985 that went through, I believe, all the stages of they consider a temporal demonic attempt. Mm-hmm. Something to just beat him down, infestation and oppression and that sort of thing. Excuse me. And do you know the one thing that he did that was different from everybody else is he forgave whatever it was, whoever it was, the spirit essence. He forgave that essence of what he did, of what it did to his friends, what it physically attacked him. He forgave it. And do you know, it lessens right out. Another man did the same thing with his house. He fought it. He let it have a little part of the house. And it just grew, and it would come back, and he forgave it. He says, I'm not going to fight you anymore. This is our house. I'm not going to fight you. This is not yours. I forgive you for what you did to my family. I forgive what you did to me. And I found in my work, in my experience, that, once you kind of figure out what's going on, and again, I'm not a big demon and angel guy. I'm a lot more positive and negative energy, but it's just semantics. It's just titles of what we use for, you know, to describe these things.
Sure.
I found that once we start talking to these people and working with them and giving them their power back, all of this negativity, all the stuff that's going on starts to decrease. And we get them to that point where they actually forgive. Well, at that point, they no longer fear what's going on. It's just something that goes on, and that's the end of it. You're not going and you're not empowering whatever it is that's attacking these people or terrorizing these people. And by forgiving, you've given them back their control. That is so important. The one thing is, I had a very serious illness and I had about nine surgeries. I had nine surgeries and all these. I don't even know how many invasive testings I've had and everything. But they always told me the first step into healing is acceptance and forgiving your body. When you do that, you are now in control. And that's what we do. We get these people to get back into control, to control the situation, to control their lives, not to give up, not to be driven out. And, you know, for years, paranormal thought was bargaining and that sort of thing. And that to me is only that's a Band-Aid. Mm-hmm. You have to be able to go and you have to get into it. You have to just jump into the pool. You got to get submerged into it. You've got to be able to go and put out that kind of vibe, because most likely it's a parasitical type spirit that gets its jollies. Since it can't really torment anybody physically, it does it and absorbs that, you know, energy that is caused by being scared and or being mad or angry and or fighting and that sort of thing. Jealousy, that will it feeds into that type of an entity. And you've got to be able to go, and when you shut the faucet off, they can't drink anymore. Mm-hmm. And gradually it disappears. It may not happen overnight, but it disappears. And I can say that in my cases that I've worked over, you know, and I've used that technique, it's been pretty successful. I'm not saying 100% successful, because, you know, we're all human and everybody does things differently, but it's been successful. And I know, and I can tell you for these two people especially, that it worked. It really did. And you got to take that battle aspect out. The only thing that you're battling, you end up only battling yourself. And that's what that negative energy wants. It wants you to battle yourself. It wants you to be confused. And while you're confused, you become frustrated and you become angry. And what is the ultimate goal? That's what it wants you to do. So don't fall into its trap.
Going back to the area where we were talking about the DMV reference and just the sheer amount of spirits that seem to be out there that can be very overwhelming for someone who is sensitive to them. Just the idea of that, the idea of this high number of spirits roaming all over the place, it very much contradicts what a lot of us were brought up with, if they were brought up in the religious area of the immediate transitioning into heaven or hell. That's, you know, what I was taught growing up, and that was the belief system then. And obviously many people, that's what they stick on. That's also a big sticking point for just even talking about ghosts. It's, well, how does ghosts fit into this equation? How do these spirits wandering around fit into that equation? What is your belief system about that process, knowing that there are these spirits who were once the living still out there, and they're not in heaven, they're not in hell, they're still hanging out, they haven't transitioned on, if that's a thing? I'd love to hear what your thoughts are on that.
Well, first off, I don't believe in heaven or hell. Okay. I really don't. Sure. I just don't. It's you know, I think the hell is what we make it.
Yeah.
And, you know, everybody, for when I was growing up, they, you know, when even in the spiritualist communities, they called them earthbound spirits. And I kind of added on self to the earthbound spirits, because I firmly believe, and from my experience and from, you know, speaking to countless people, I believe that any spirit, any essence of a personality who is left here is afraid to go on. Now, I'm saying that, you know, spirits can come and go. The essence of them are always here. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, they can contact you. They can go back. They can do whatever they want. They have that free will. But something that is really stuck here is it's basically because they either want to be or they're scared to go on because they believe in hell or they believe that, you know, they're not worthy. That's where the old spirit rescue circles used to come in, where they would go and try to convince that spirit to move on. And, you know, talking with that spirit and trying to contact this spirit's relatives and families, and they call it reaching out, where they would go and the essence of these spirits from the other side would reach out to help calm this person and bring them out, mm-hmm. and bring them to let them go on and let them go into the next evolution. For me, a lot of these essences are afraid to go on because of the fact that I believe that the end of the road is we lose our personality and our ego. And I believe we become pure essence. We become pure energy and we become one of everything, you know, a part of everything. Mm-hmm. I believe that. And that to me is the end of the line. And I think that's beautiful. I mean, that to me is far more beautiful than sitting on a cloud. But again, it depends. I mean, people really, you know, they always say there's no atheists in foxholes. So whenever anything really bad happens, people cling to that religion's belief system they had initially, the way they were taught.
Sure.
And that's just natural. So they're afraid to go on. It's, you know, it's tough. And then sometimes there's quick deaths. Car accidents are brutal. I used to hate to drive by and see the roadside memorials. I hated them mm-hmm. for years. And then I realized what they were. You know, sometimes the essence of these people that died so tragically, they're stuck because of that. Sometimes they don't realize what's going on. Sometimes they were in shock. Sometimes they're still in shock. And by seeing this memorial, it gives them that realization that they're gone, that they're past. Mm-hmm. And at that point, I believe that they can go and and the minute that they have that realization, then they can, they can evolve on. Okay. Or they can stay if that's what they want. But people have got, you know, the essence of personality, just because they passed doesn't mean that they've changed their thought patterns or their ego or anything. Some people love the locations so much that they don't want to go, that they will stay at that location. But that's what they want. That's what they don't want to go on. Mm-hmm. They'll stay until the situation changes or whatever. I mean, I've worked haunted locations that there were essences in that house. They love the house. But when the house was torn down, you never heard from them again. Why is that? We don't know.
Let's ask one more question before we wrap things
sure.
up. This is an interesting thing that I honestly have been getting an influx of stories on over the last, I'd say, year or so, which is interesting when you get these little spikes, because a lot of times, you know, it stays fairly consistent on what you hear. But it's accounts of the living, almost, I don't know any other word to say it, but being their own ghost, being their own, causing their own haunting, if you will. Sometimes it's an account of them, if you want to call it astral projecting, someone else seeing them in a different place in time, and then this being recounted later. But the living, essentially, their own energy, being what one would call a ghost. What is your thoughts on that phenomena? Where can the living essentially sometimes manipulate their own environment without necessarily knowing it, where it's not necessarily a spirit of someone else that's doing it, but it is some sort of uncontrolled energy of our own that can manipulate our own environment, making us uncomfortable, but at the end, it's really us doing it to ourselves.
Absolutely. I can't believe you brought that up. That is, nobody brings that part up. That's fantastic. Yeah, absolutely. There are people out there that don't realize subconsciously that they have that ability to do such. Mm-hmm. They can do it. They call it dream walking. Some people, when in meditation, are seen in different locations. That's called bilocation. Mm-hmm. They can be projected, you know, depending on where you are, everything depends on the person, the place, and the setting of where you are that will go and aid into this, that will go and power this.
Sure.
But absolutely, they can go and they can project themselves into different areas and people see them. Sometimes they don't realize it. And I think a lot of times in those situations, they think they're in that dream state. Mm-hmm. And yet they are. And at that point, this is where like quantum physics and all the string theory and time travel, it all kind of mixes together.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if you look at it on a linear plane, if someone is projecting themselves forward, do they have a true idea of where they're going or what they're doing? And I really think that sometimes that certain people can project themselves into the past or people in the past can project themselves into the future. Mm-hmm. And what some people see as self-made ghosts, not to be compared with thought forms, which are man-made, mm-hmm. you know, and they will exist only in this plane, but they can go again and vibrationally they can be seen. Now, somebody in the medieval ages who has this unbelievable ability projects themselves forward energetically to 21st century. And people look and they see this person walking down the hallway. Mm-hmm. What do they think it's going to be? First thing, it's a ghost.
Yeah.
And I firmly believe that. I believe that it can happen. Not to me. I've never done that I know of, because I'd be like, you know, getting into all the all the sporting events for free. But to be honest with you, I'm a firm believer in that. And I would, you know, I would love to see more research done into that whole concept. That's a great concept, Tony. Super concept.
Yeah, it's very intriguing. It initially started maybe 2 years ago with a letter that came in from someone. And they stated that they had this very vivid-esque dream of being in the woods behind their childhood home. And they were watching a family have a campfire in the spot that this woman had a campfire as a child. She thought really very little of it other than it was a nice kind of warm, comforting dream. And she was back where she had grown up. Thought it was weird that she was witnessing another family, but maybe she was just, you know, hoping that there was another family there enjoying the same rituals that she had growing up. She's back in the town driving through and kind of did the, I'm just going to go knock on the door and just say, hey, I grew up here. Do you mind if I just, you know, peek around? I'm out of curiosity. The woman who answers the door doesn't recognize her, but is very friendly. And then one of the children come up to the door and go, Mom, that's the woman who was the ghost at the campfire the other night. And the parents had dismissed this, you know, I saw a ghost thing from the child, but the woman then who's coming to the door recognizes the family as, oh my God, this is the family I saw in what I thought was just a dream. And I've had various iterations of that story told to me in different settings and different scenarios. And like I said, there's been an influx of this over the last couple of years. I don't know what that is. If people are just getting obviously more and more comfortable sharing their stories and this is just starting to come out. But it clearly is something that people are experiencing. And it's very intriguing to understand what it is that's going on. And then it kind of shakes up our understanding of the world of spirits and ghosts, where for a long time it's been, well, they're all dead or they're something positive or they're negative. I think for not a lot of that equation has been maybe it is the living in many cases. And how often is it the living that we are interpreting as being the spirit of a dead individual when it could be somebody just in a different place or time, possibly?
Absolutely. And let's face it, we start talking about thought forms. A lot of people will go and a lot of the experiments in the 1970s. Were the creation of thought forms and giving them a personality, consciously giving them a personality, mm-hmm. and going and giving them a whole bio, such as in the Philip experiment in 72 and that sort of thing. And are we projecting, as you know, if a group of people can project into a thought form, the thought form turns around, answers back through whatever means that you're using to answer it, whether it's table tipping or Ouija boards, whatever, and then starts creating, correcting its bio by itself. Mm-hmm. What is that? Is that you doing it? Is that a group of people doing it? Is that just pure energy picking up on something that maybe like attracts like? Or could you be somehow bringing back into this thought form the personality of someone who may be astrally projecting themselves forward? That is people, that to me is the new frontier. That's the new Wild West.
Yeah.
That's something that people should really start working with more and more, because, you know, again, like we just spoke before, everybody blames it. Mm-hmm. Everybody talks about the dead, but many times it's the living that causes these manifestations and that sort of thing. And how many people, when they pass away, or when somebody, a loved one passes away, misses that person so much, wishes they were here, and then sees them. Is that a true apparition? Is that that person? Or is it the fact that that person may be projecting it out there? Or could it be that person, you know, just as a child projecting itself forward, mm-hmm. and appearing to this wife or this loved one without really realizing it in a dream state? So yeah, there's so much that can be there. I love that. That's a great topic.
Yeah.
Tony, you're a genius. man.
And it leaves us with more questions than answers, as it always does when we talk about these things.
But isn't that the way it should be?
Yes.
Because too many people want absolutes.
Mm-hmm.
And when we start talking about anything of this nature, there are no absolutes whatsoever. And what I love about what you're doing, Tony, is the fact that you're making people think. You're getting the gray matter to start bubbling,
mm-hmm.
and that is a great job. So you're doing your part, man. You're doing that your part. They should be giving you a medal for doing this. That's great.
That wraps up our conversation with Timothy Shaw and our conversation about the other side. Until next time, for the Grave Talks, I'm Tony Bruschi. Follow me at Tony Bruschi, Tony Bruschi, on Instagram. Thanks for listening, and thanks for the support.
Products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
Confused on where to start with weight loss medication? See the lowest prices available with or without insurance for Wegovy, Zepbound, and more at TryLifeMD.com. 95% of LifeMD patients said starting their weight loss journey was simple. Listen to Tara's story after losing 42 pounds.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. I had gone from 237 to 195. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
Get your free insurance benefits check in minutes right now at TryLifeMD.com. Nearly 96% of patients said they would recommend the LifeMD program to anyone who wants to lose weight. Get started right now at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
With a $5 meal deal with new McValue, you pick a McDouble or a McChicken, then get a small fry, a small drink, and a four-piece McNuggets. That's a lot of McDonald's for not a lot of money.
Prices and participation may vary. McDouble meal $6 in some markets for a limited time only. In the news this week, the Have I Got News For You podcast is back for another series.
Brought to you by some of the team behind the show, we'll take you through the big stories of the week when the TV show can't.
From Kemi Badenoch to Keir Starmer, Donald Trump to Nigel Farage, we'll make sure to give every story and subject the complete lack of respect it deserves.
We also cover all the sillier stories you've missed that don't make the front page and put your news knowledge to the test with our missing words round.
Listen and subscribe to In the News This Week, the Have I Got News For You podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.